Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
With my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
With my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
Good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word this evening, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need, and a greater understanding of the truth of this, your word. And to help us, Father, opening our hearts and our minds to be receptive. Give us that burning desire, Father, for more knowledge and wisdom of your word, so that we can walk upright and be ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ when it becomes our time. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this evening. And we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, you know, this morning, we was in the first chapter of Ephesians. And we covered quite a bit in that first chapter of Ephesians. We found out really what a lot of us are missing, and most especially things that our church is missing today and has quit teaching on. This evening, what the Lord gave me, we're going to be talking about something that we all, in order to walk as a child of God, a gift that we have to have. And God gives us this gift. He gives it to every man and woman. But it's what we do with it, and whether we learn how to use it or not, or whether we do use it. And do we work to strengthen it? Because we are living in a day and time to where we must quit compromising God's word for the ways of this world and going along with it and man's ways. You know, a lot of us don't really stop to think about that word even, compromise, what it means. That word compromise means that we let things go a little to our thinking. Well, it's just a little bit, but I can bend a little. Well, you can, but you're going to pay for it when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we can't compromise his will, his ways, or his word and make heaven our home. And some of the best examples are given to us from the Old Testament. The three Hebrew children, for instance, was a good example. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't compromise God for what man was asking of them. The king, when he made that decree and he built that image he built and he made the decree that when they'd hear this music and all play, they was to stop what they were doing and fall down on their knees and worship this image. Shadrach and Meshach wouldn't do it. He told them if they didn't do it, he was going to cast them into a fiery furnace. And they told the king, said, well, that's all right. Our God can save us. Or if he don't, he'll take us home. And they wouldn't compromise. Music played, no. They didn't fall down and worship that image. The king called some of his biggest men together, told them to make that furnace hotter than it had ever been made, and to throw these three in it. And they did. But the furnace destroyed the ones that threw Shadrach and Meshach in there. He killed them and destroyed them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in there walking around. Because guess who was in there with them? The Lord Jesus Christ. When the king and them that was with him looked in there, they saw four walking instead of three. They come out of there, not even a hair singed. You see, that's what we get when we don't compromise. Daniel, in his day, again, supposed to worship a false god. Daniel refused to do it. And he was told unless he would do that, he was going to be thrown in with the lions. He's going to be thrown in the lion's den. They could eat him. He wouldn't compromise. And king, true to his word, threw him in there. Had him thrown in. Left him all night. Goes next morning to sea and have his bones and all gathered up. What did he find? Find Daniel in there asleep. Unhurt. the Lord had closed the mouth of the lions. They're just like pets to Daniel, because he wouldn't compromise. But it takes faith to live a life to where you won't compromise the Word of God. Is it something you can do always without any pain or anything that way? No, you'll find that there can be a price to pay. So here in Hebrews chapter 11, that's where I'm going to be this evening. This is the greatest chapter in the Bible on faith. That's what I want to get across to you tonight. Walking in faith. What does faith even mean? Faith is in knowing that God's word is truth. Faith is in believing and knowing that God will keep his promise. Faith is putting your belief and trust in Jesus and calling things that are not as though they were, knowing that it is coming about. Is it always easy? No. But we have some examples here in chapter 11. And it starts off here by giving us a little bit of the definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's a pretty good description of it. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We know that this earth was spoken into existence by God. It's recorded in Genesis just how the world and the universe was created. How it came to be. And it came from really nothing. Mainly waters was all around. In both atmospheres. And God spoke everything into being. Now, verse 4, we start seeing some of the things that man believed in with faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. We know that his sacrifice was accepted and God was well pleased with it. And we know that Cain's sacrifice was not accepted. And God was not pleased with Cain. And it's believed through a lot of our churches that God didn't accept it because it wasn't a live animal sacrifice. But that's not the reason. Because you see, God did accept other sacrifices, grain sacrifices, for certain things. But when we really are studying God's word and we're reading that story about Cain and Abel, we find the reason that God did not accept that sacrifice was because his heart was not right with God. That's why God didn't accept it. Now, here in verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So far, everything that we have seen here now, where they have gotten things from God and God has given him things, has all been because of what? Faith. Faith. And we ain't done, not near done. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Unless you will walk in faith and walk in obedience unto God's word with your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's not going to be happy with you. Think about that. And that's his word, not mine. You see, because we have to have faith and we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seeking. Those that really wanting, you are setting out to definitely seek the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've got to be sincere and honest. And when you do that, you'll find him. Now here in verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. How much faith do you think it took for Noah, a man that had never seen rain, Up until this time, it had not rained on the earth. The ground and all was watered at night by the dew. It had never rained. Here God tells him to build this great big ark because there's going to be a flood. He'd never seen rain. Wonder what he thought about the flood. But what did he do? He went to work. Used the instructions given him by God on how to build it. Took him 40 years to build that ark. But he built it. 40 years of walking in faith because of something God told him. Look around you today and tell me how many people would do that today. You couldn't get them to work 4 days, let alone 40 years. In fact, most that you talk to today wouldn't last 4 hours until they'd give up because their faith is not strong. They're not using it. And here's another man that not just once, but several times had to really use his faith and strong faith. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He obeyed what God told him to go. He didn't even know where he was going. He really didn't even know what direction to go in. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. Packed up everything he had to go. Do you know anyone today that do that? You go tell him, Lord told me to tell you, pack up, he's got some place for you to go. He wants you to go, and he'll tell you where to go. So just get started. Maybe he wants to put you in a straitjacket. Because they'd tell you you were crazy. But by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. These was his two sons, Isaac and Jacob was. But he took them, packed up, left and went, and God guided him where he wanted him to go. That's what you call walking by faith. Here you and I have been gifts, 9 gifts of the Spirit to use to better our lives. And we don't use them. Why? Because we don't have the faith to use them. And we won't step out. If you would just put what little faith you have, it don't take great big faith. You just take a little faith and step out and begin to move as God told you to do. And he'll build that faith to bring about whatever it was. And you'll see it accomplished. You say, Pastor, oh, you don't know that. Oh, yes, I do. Been there, been down that road. I was sent to tell a man something that didn't even believe in God speaking to man today. He was a pastor of a church, too. And God sent me to tell that man to go to his church and pray a prayer. And things is going to change in his life. There'd be an addition onto his church and everything. This man didn't even believe in visions. He believed they all died when the apostle died. That was all gone. Because you see, he was the pastor of an independent fundamental Baptist church. His name is Brother Chapp. He's in heaven now. I got up and went and done what God told me to do. I knew the man didn't believe in it. But I done what God told me to do. And as I stood talking to him, telling him about the vision and how I'd seen it, I changed and everything about it. He looked at me and asked me. He said, well, will you go with me? I said, no, God didn't tell me to go with you. He just gave me the vision, told me to come tell you. He said, I'll follow you down. And he did. He went to church. And he done what he was told to do. You know what happened? There was an addition built on the side of his church. And it was packed. Most of the time when you'd go there to church, they were standing room only. A year later, God took him home. You see, God knows the time, the day and the hour for all of us, for each and every one of us. He knows. We don't, but he does. Brother James, he knows when you're going to draw your last breath. He knows when I'm going to get my last breath. We don't, but he does. He knows what will cause it, how it'll be. He already knows what kind of shape we're going to step out of this life in. We don't know, but he does. We can know. Because if we are really right with him and we are born again, we know that we are going to heaven. No born again child of God is going to miss heaven and go to hell. No. Only those that don't believe. Those that are not born again. John 3rd chapter tells us that. The Gospel of John. Chapter 3. Jesus talking to Nicodemus. He said, no man will enter the kingdom of God unless he's born again. You know, there's so many things we don't think about. And it's all been told to us, told exactly about it. But yet, most of it is not preached today because mankind don't want to believe it. And he is standing and deceiving his church. In John chapter 3, here's what it reads, starting with verse 3. Well, let's start with verse 2. Just keep it in context. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You don't get it any plainer than that. If you ain't born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb and be born? You see, this is man's way of thinking. That's the way we think about things today. When we hear something preached to us that we haven't heard before and it seems a little strange, we want to put our mind to it. Work it in with our mind. No. Let's keep it in the spirit where it belongs. But Jesus answered him here in verse 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it list, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You see, when you become a born-again child of God, that's why those in the world out here don't accept you. You're strange to them. And they don't accept you. They're afraid of you. For one, they're actually afraid of you. But let's go on now here. In verse 10, it says, For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. We're still talking about Abraham here. Now, he used it when he went out moving, not knowing where he was going. He used faith. Now they're getting ready to have to do it again. Through faith also, Sarah herself, Abraham's wife, received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. God told Abraham and Sarah that he was going to give them a child. They were both close to 100 years old. Well, today I'm 88. My wife's 83. How hard would it be for us to believe that we're going to have a kid? Been past that age a long time already. Here, Sarah and Abraham is older than that. They're right at 100. But you see, because of faith, they had that child. Now, they didn't have a lot of patience, because we know that's why Ishmael was born, because it didn't happen even right away. Them having that child that was promised to them didn't happen immediately. It was long enough that Sarah took her handmaiden and gave her to Abraham so they could have that child. And Ishmael was born. We're still paying for that today, too. Actually, Ishmael's where most all your Muslims come from. Didn't know that, did you? It's his people. Now, but, you see, God gave him that child, Isaac. He's still not through. Have to have faith, Abraham. It's not. So when you eat today are walking as a child of God, we have got to walk continuously in and with faith. That's why we are to live God's word at all times in our life. That's why we are to put Him and things of this word of God first and foremost in our lives. Because He's not going to quit using us. Now, a lot of us want to sit back. We don't want to get out and do nothing. We don't want to go and talk to people. We don't want to do this. We don't want to do that. And He'll send you exactly where you don't want to go. That's what He'll do. Now, verse 12. Therefore spring there even of one in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the skies in multitude, and as the sands which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were pursued of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We know those prophets and things that God gave things to and told them about what was coming that never lived to see it come. Isaiah, Jeremiah were both told about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, how He was coming. He was coming born of a virgin, about His life, what He was coming for. It was 400 years later before it happened. They didn't get to see it. They were gone. But they stood in faith. And what they were told happened. God may tell you and I things today that are coming upon this earth. And He has given me some things. I may see them and I may not. But it don't mean it's not going to happen, because I don't see it. I may not see it, but you might. Or my children may. Because you see, I'm not the one that handles time. God does. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And as a born-again child of God, we are We are seeking a country. When we become a born-again child of God, we are no longer citizens of this earth. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through. Because we have a better place waiting for us. Because now we are citizens of another place. We are citizens of the kingdom of Almighty God when you become born again. 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. I don't want to return to this world. No. Had enough of it. I don't want no part of it. But now they desire a better country that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And we know he has prepared that city, that new Jerusalem for us. We're told about it. We're told how wonderful a place it will be. And one day we'll see that place. All that are born again will see that place. Now, coming back to Abraham again. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. This son God had promised him and told him was going to be the father of many nations. He's still a child. God has told Abraham, now, take him and go up on the mountain and sacrifice him. Somebody tell you to take your child up on the mountain and sacrifice him? What are you going to think? You're going to think somebody's nut, ain't you? But you know something? 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. You see, he wasn't counting Isaac really as being gone, even if he used him as a sacrifice that God had told him to do. He'd still be that figure that he was supposed to be. Because even though he sacrificed him, God could still bring him back to life. That's what you call strong faith. That's knowing that what God tells you is truth. We also know that God didn't let him sacrifice him. In 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come, letting them know about things that was to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. He was old enough and feeble enough, he had to have a staff, a cane to walk by. And to bless them, he had to lean on the top of it. But he done it. He got it done. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And in reading the Old Testament, we know he did. He wanted them to carry his bones back to the land of Israel. And when God took them back from bondage, they carried his bones back. Oh boy. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. They hid him in a basket, put him in a river among the bulrushes or the weeds, as we'd call them today. And he was found by the king's daughter, and she raised him. But to show you how God works, she needed a nursemaid to nurse him. His sister had followed him and told her she could get somebody. And he was nursed by his own mother. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He found out who he was, and he left out of Pharaoh and joined his own people and become a man that God used greatly. We all know the story of Moses. He said he was choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And that's what we must be doing today, getting away from the sins of this world. We don't need them in our lives. We need to be walking in and with this word and living by it. Continually, not once a week, not two times a week, or not three times a week, but continually, every day. But most don't, do they? Now, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he's talking about Moses here yet, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He wanted to see God. He had heard from his people about this God. He was looking for him. He was wanting to see him. We know he found him because he wouldn't turn loose. He wouldn't quit seeking. He carried on by faith. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. We all know that story. God told him, hold that staff up over the sea. And he did, because his faith was in God. And the sea departed. God told him, now you got to keep that up there. And as long as he would hold that staff up there, that sea stayed parted. And they all crossed on dry land. That's what the word said. Dry land. Not even muddy land. Dry land. They went across on dry land, the bottom of the sea being dry. Think about that, the power of Almighty God. Now, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compressed about 7 days. We remember the story where they were told to go march around the town for 7 days. And on that seventh day, they was all to holler, shout. They done it. They went by faith, just as they were told to do. Walked around that city, and on that seventh day, they gave a shout and the walls fell. By faith, the harlot, Rahab. Now this is a prostitute, a whore, perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. We all know that story too, because we've studied and read it before, where she took the man of God and let them down by a basket down the wall to get them out of town safely. 32, and he says, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jehoshaphat, David also, and Samuel, and other prophets, who through faith, here's what faith will do for you too, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. You see, these are things that one day mankind's going to be facing again. During that tribulation period, God's people are going to face this again. They're going to have to walk with this same kind of faith. They were stoned. They were thrown under. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. The world was not really worthy of these people that had to face all of this stuff. One day we're going to be facing it again, as I said, and it's not as far off as we think. Mankind better be getting right and be getting ready. Because let me tell you something. I've seen people claim to be atheists, didn't believe in God. All the talking you do, no, they ain't no God. That first bullet that went by their ear, they become frightened. They started calling on that God they didn't believe in. You've heard me say many times, I don't believe in a true atheist. I've never seen one. Now, I knew quite a few of them in the Army. But all of them that I would be in contact with, I've seen and known they called on the God they didn't believe in too. But you see, these so-called Christians out here that we have walking today that have been deceived in the churches where they're going, they're not really teaching the truth of God's word. When it comes down to making the choice of choosing to serve Christ or to take the mark of the beast, most will choose to take the mark because of fear, because they will be facing the guillotine, losing their head if they don't. You will die if you are given that choice to take the mark of the beast and you refuse. You will lose your head. Not many people are brave enough. It will take that faith in God, knowing He is with you, working on His strength to stand and say, all right, here it is, and poke your head in there and say, take it. Because that's what they're going to do. We need the strength that these people had. And very few have got it today. Now we're told, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. But you see, that is the difference between them of that day and us of today. They couldn't attain that spiritual perfection that God expects from you today. On your own, you can't know. On my own, I can't maintain that spiritual perfection. But when that Holy Spirit comes in, He brings that spiritual perfection with Him. Oh, no, now, Pastor, He don't. Yes, He does. And when He really comes in and you become that born-again child of God, you can't sin. Oh, there ain't no such thing. Well, you can call God a liar if you want to. I'm not going to. What do you mean call God a liar? Well, if God's the one who says so, wasn't me. It was Him. Back in 1 John, chapter 3. Starts out with verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Now, here's what happened when you're born again. God's word, not mine. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, are you born of God? Have you been reborn? Then you can't sin because the Holy Spirit's not going to let you do it. In this, in other words, because of that, the children of God are manifested. You're helped there. And the children of the devil, whosoever does not righteousness, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You see, God will keep you. He will keep you. But it takes faith. And we're finding very little of it today around us. They're listening to man instead of God. God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Man said, close your churches. They closed them. God said, no. Man said, yeah. So they closed them. And man, when he, man that even told them to close the church doors, didn't have the authority or the right to tell them to do it. Because our Constitution said no. They went against our own Constitution. And yet, our preachers stood in the podium and done exactly what they were told to do. They closed their doors. And they'll answer for it. They will answer for it. And that answer can come in many, many ways. Only God knows how it'll be. Each one will be different, but God knows how and what the price will be. Then they were told, you can open back up now. But you got a big church, you can't have the 50. Who's going to pick that 50? You got a church of 500 or 1,000. What 50 are you going to let in? See how crazy it is? The following man instead of following God. Do that, we're not going to make heaven our home. We're going to stop here now. And remember, all that are listening, come Thursday evening, we can be back together again, back in the Word of God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we close your word, Father. We thank you for this word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives within us, Father, to give us the guidance, to give us the understanding, to give us the knowledge and the wisdom we need in order to walk as your children, Father. Now, Father, for your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, you ask us to pray for them. And we do. We lift them up in prayer. And we pray, Father, for them to receive peace. But even more than that, Father, may they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, a land that has no excuse, no excuse at all for turning their back on the Lord Jesus Christ and the church, that has set out, Father, to make your word hate speech in this land. Father, we pray that enough of us are praying, Father, for the Holy Spirit to work with us, to help us to remove from office those that are against the church and against Jesus, and help us to replace them with ones that will stand for the church, for Jesus, work with us, help us to bring this land to repentance and put our land back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this world is in a mess. We pray for all the nations, Father. We pray for the saints wherever they are in these nations, each and every one of them, that they receive the help they need, Father, and that they can all begin to reach the lost, preparing mankind to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes for his church. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch each one to fill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina. Father, these all, touch them in mighty and great ways. Bring them closer unto the Lord Jesus Christ. For the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, when they come together, bring them together in one mind and one accord, and that being in Jesus Christ. For Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, for Pastor Lou Bess and the Church of God of Brandenburg, for Pastor Randy Johnson, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, and the two pastors there, Pastor Don Hill and Pastor Alan Thomas, and Father, Pastor Tony Galladay. These churches, Father, make them lighthouses among the community in which they stand. And these pastors, Father, keep them filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing, to keep these churches on the pathway of righteousness. The young man, Will, Father, my prayer for Will is that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit, and he is the minister you want him to be. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, I pray for them. And I pray, Father, that they turn and look to you. You know what their need is. I'm lifting them up, Father, in prayer and putting them in your hands. For that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge, Father. Keep one in that church, Father, that will fill it with the Holy Spirit, so that it becomes a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. For my young friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Father, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephron Iron, Father, these three, keep them, Father, in the hollow of your hand. Hold on to them, Father, with thy love, taking care of them and use them in great and mighty ways in the lands where they are. Now for the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, my family, and for each family, Father, that has heard this message, we pray that the Holy Spirit will work within these families, work with those that are walking in darkness, and turn them and lead them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none are lost of our families, Father, but they can all find heaven and make heaven their home. For Jimmy Embry, for Sharon Mombillo, for Sue, for Palance, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, for Henry Craycroft, Father, all of these, they stand in need of the healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch them mightily, Father. Touch them in a way that they know that it is you and not man. And help lead them out of darkness and into light, and that light being Jesus. Now, Father, this church is yours. Help us to make it into what you want it to be, using all of us, Father, in great and mighty ways, not to lift us up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in these days. Now, Father, as we prepare to separate, to go our own ways, be with each one, keep each one safe, keep each one in health. And I ask all of this, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless. Now remember, God willing, we can all be together again Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. So until then, God bless. Have a great night.